to speak through tape, Father. We pray, Lord Jesus, that today you would move, that as you're on your throne and you reign, Lord, you do not stop building your kingdom. We pray that today would be a great day of building, a great day of your word, a great day of lives being changed, Lord. Come have your way today, we pray, Jesus. Amen.
I thought it was only an analogy, but the mic doesn't really work during the preaching. In fact, we created a new ministry for some special deacon to just deliver some desk. Sometimes when you want to preach and you want to talk to the people, suddenly it's just crushing. But it's good to be with you. It's good to be one of the guest speakers to you this morning. And so let's do the offering for the guest speaker. In case you don't understand my English, some foreigners, not from South Africa, thinks I speak like South African. South African thinks I speak like Asian or French, and Malagasy thinks I speak like really English, whatever that means. But in case you don't know, I'm trying my best to speak in English, and I'm also using some PowerPoint here just to clarify in terms of what I've been speaking this morning. So Kim has called me and told me, preach, tell them about what should they do to us as a young gentleman, the responsibilities of the church towards their pastors. Because apparently you are giving him hard time. That's not the church. But in fact, he told me to preach something, but I mailed him back and I SMSed him that I feel like God really impressed his thing upon my heart this morning. And I just want to share with you about this topic, the responsibilities of the church towards their pastors. So just before I start, I just want to give a little bit of news from us. If you are new today, I used to be a part of the eldership team in Tana City and Almira. Since a year ago, I still remember our first Sunday in Analakir was the 7th of July, which has been a year and 1 month now that we've been in Analakir, and we've been under church plot there. And so you guys kicked me out. just some news about us. God has really blessed us with more people, and from the first Sunday of September, we'll be turning into two meetings in the morning. So one at 8 o'clock and one at 10:30. And it's just been an amazing season for us to be there and see how God is changing us and extending His kingdom. And I also want to take the opportunity to thank you guys, because in case if you didn't know, some of your money that you've been giving to Antarmena has been going a lot to us, because we couldn't, until now, we cannot afford to run it by ourselves. So you've been really supporting us, and I just want to thank you. And even Kim is not here, Andy, tell your dad, guys, tell your pastors that we really appreciate them, and appreciate you, Craig, and all the guys who are on leadership here for supporting us, and please continue. For those of you who wasn't given yet, please give. For those of you who was given, please increase. Serious, we did it. If you've got too much money that you don't know what to do with it, send it to us. You can work out that other problem that you cannot solve. So yeah, that's a bit about us. And I've got my wife here and my two girls. One is sleeping, one is eating. And she's eating apple because, listen carefully, my wife is pregnant. So we are expecting the third one in February next year. We pray that it will be a boy. We are breaking the curse from Craig. We are wanting the blessing from Kim. Because Craig only gets girls and Kim boys. is study one to be away from Craig's anointing. That's why we are sitting here. I want to be far from Craig. So yeah, that's a little bit about our news. And in fact, if you guys only have one child, one kid or two kids, please follow your leaders. Craig has four, Kim has five. Six. So what's wrong with you? I'm teasing. So let's turn our Bible to Hebrew chapter 13 and verse 17 and 18. I did update my PowerPoint, so the verse here would be in Malagasy, but somehow I just checked now, so it wasn't the last one that I did in English, so some of it will be in Malagasy. Don't worry, it's not in tongues. And even if it's in tongues, I kind of have a gift of interpretation. Don't worry. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 17. So, so to read from verse 17. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. Pray for us, for we are sure that we have a clear conscience, desiring to act honorably in all things. That's what I'll talk, really, and in a sense I want to be straight because I don't speak that much English, but also just to help you and to just address some issues that some people have with their pastors. And if you can go to the next slide. There's strong views of leadership in general. It's not only in the church, but even in the corporate world, in the families. There's strong views that I'd like to address this morning. First is when you make your leaders, or you make people in leadership as God. And most of us here would know, if you've lived for a long time in Africa or in Asia, East Asia, this first wrong views of leadership is very strong, where we tend to worship people in leadership. We tend to put our hope in them. And even in a church, there's a church in Lusaka, it's a Baptist church. I really respect a lot, there's a pastor called Conrad Bibi. I don't agree with everything he says. But there's something that he says about the African pastors and with the prosperity gospel. And he says in one of his articles or one of his blog, the title was, Are We Pastors or Are We Witch Doctors? Because what he says is, in Africa, people tend to treat pastors as magicians, as someone who can turn something to a magic trick and then does something like really not biblical at all. And somehow we as people, we kind of just go to them, maybe they are closer to God, maybe God can hear their prayer, maybe He is the new Jesus for this day. And I believe you might still pray to Jesus. You might still say that, yes, Jesus is my Savior. But sometimes we could see a sign in our life when we make our pastors or some leaders as someone in between us and God. So that's wrong, especially for us here in Madagascar. You know, if you grow up in a community where the community has been worshipped, or there's too much emphasis on a community and one another, then sometimes we tend to elevate leadership into God. And I like a phrase from there's an American theologian, his name is D.A. Carson, and he says, when you put someone in leadership as God, then we de-God God himself. He said, there's a new word that he's using, de-God God. I mean, what God? It's like taking God away from his place and putting someone into God's place. So one of my main goals this morning is for us not to worship men, not to worship our pastors, but to worship God, and God belongs to Jesus, and Jesus belongs to us. For He is the one that has saved us, He's the one who died on the cross for us. So let's deal with that like right now, to say that God is my God. He's the one who's given pastors into our lives, and He alone can save us. He alone can hear our prayer. And then the second wrong view is when people are indifferent to their leaders. It's from the other extreme to the other one. But some people are pastors. We don't need them anymore now. We are all called in the New Testament, priesthood of all believers. And because of that, sometimes we think like, okay, I don't need the pastor anymore. I don't need someone else anymore. You can do whatever you want to say. I don't care about what you are doing. I'm doing this on my own. And maybe you just go to your church, or you kind of like, I'm just on my journey. I just want to do this on my own, and that's it. But that's another way of saying to God, like, I don't need the people that you've put in my life. I don't need those pastors that you've put in my life. And I just want to, especially if you grew up in a culture where it's very individualistic, where you think that it's all about you, that the church exists for you, pastors exist for you. But in fact, it's a two-way street. You exist for the pastor, the pastors exist for you. Your leaders exist for you, but you do exist for them. So those are the extremes about how we tend to view leadership. And then the next one, there's one slide before this one, but what's the biblical view of leadership? So to me, pastors, and how should I, or how should you view leadership in a church? And to me, a pastor is someone who points us to Christ. They are, they guide us, they shepherd us, they teach us, they pray for us, but they are not God. They are the ones who point us to Christ. They make us grow in Christ. So I think that's going to be a good way of how we should view our pastors, how we should receive them in our lives. And that, of course, that they are not our slaves either, but they are not our God as well. So again, with these two views of leadership, is that just to see your pastors as someone who call you to Christ. So who or what, if you can say that in a sense, who or what are pastors? Who are they? First point, they are just human like the rest of us. In case you thought that when the darkness comes, they glow. it's shining, there's something on the head, there's some little wings. It's a pastor. For someone who's dressed like with a suit and a tie, holy robe and so on. And when he speaks to you, he says, brother, how are you? But they are just human like us. And so that's why one of the things why I moved to, I'm not judging the church that I was before, but one of the reasons I moved to Vision Valley Church that time and not Abbasidi Church is because of just the reality of a pastor or of your leaders. Like, they're just real people. And they're just human like us. They do not tend to be holy than you, or that they know everything about Christianity. They're just like us. But the second point is, they're responding to the call of God, first in their characters, displayed in their daily lives. As I said earlier on with the Malagasy meeting, I've got a desire in my heart that somehow, someday, if I've got some few years left, I'd like to go to a real, like a theological school. I don't have anything against Bible school, marked by the school and theological studies doesn't turn one into a pastor. Only God called them, and the gospel of God working in their lives will make someone become a pastor. The pastor is someone who in their lives will see that God is in action. God is governing, God is leading. They accept the hand and the authority of God in their lives. So that's why, I want to make it clear that it's someone who's been proven, as Paul wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 3, someone has been proven, he's been with God for a long time, and he takes God seriously in his life. You could see in each aspect of his life. I don't mean they are perfect, but they follow God, they accept God in their lives. So, in a sense, I want to encourage you, it's not about how much you know about the Bible, it's about how much you live in your life about your knowledge of the Bible. It's not about, there's lots of things here, that's one of the prayer that I do for myself. God, somehow I know this much, but live this much about you. And for us, even if you're not a pastor, I just want to encourage you, it's about how much we live it. But for us to live it, of course, we need to learn it. How can you live something that you don't know? But we need to learn it. But my point here is, the pastor is someone who accepts God's act of grace in their lives and being displayed in their daily lives. And thirdly, they also make mistakes like all of you. Like all of you, yes, they do. They make mistakes. And somehow that affects the way we view our pastors, depending on which side of the pendulum you are. If you view them as God, when they make a mistake, you think that that's the new norm now. That's how the Mormonism started. I mean, he was caught in an affair, and suddenly what did he say? Remember that in the Bible. Two wives. What? Because they made the pastor or the leader as the God. So what they really said, okay, that's the truth. But that's not the truth. So if you are on the other side of the pendulum, what you tend to do when your pastor makes a mistake, you go around and what do you do? You destroy them, you kill them, you bite them. How? But gossiping, by telling to other people, I saw that, you know, our pastor, this is what he did. Next Sunday I won't give something anymore. Or maybe because the basket passed by, so I'll just do something like this. It's affecting, because you've got a certain view of how you view the pastor. And but I advise to you, when he makes a mistake, you who saw him first, you go to him. Go to him, tell him, this is what I saw, and maybe it's, don't think it's wrong, it's against it's against God's pattern for our lives. So go there, you go to him gently. And even it will be one of the five points later, but 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 18 speaks about it. That if one of our elders or one of our pastors is caught in an open sin, we should go to him. We should tell him this is wrong. We should rebuke him with a spirit of gentleness. Your goal is that you protect your pastor. But that's why I really feel like just to share this topic with you, because I'm sure it will draw us closer to Christ, it will make us more effective in extending and preaching the gospel to others. So remember that they also make mistakes. So what according to the scripture that we read earlier, what he's saying first is like, submit. What should? Didn't I put a tick on? So, what you see from Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17, the first verb of the first thing that it says is submit to your leaders. And that's very difficult for us, isn't it? For you women who are married, it's easy to submit to your husband.
Ah,
it's difficult. And when it comes to the church life, when it comes to a community of Christians, we are called by God to submit to our leaders. And of course, it's not submitting, as I said earlier, you know? It's not submitting in everything as whatever he wants to do, but submitting in everything that God said to us. Which is linked to the second point, obey your leaders. And this obey here, from the Greek, it's not the, as obeying God. It's not like Ephesians 5, but it's more obey the truth that they are proclaiming from the word of God. If you want to do good to your pastors, and even now thinking about him. Of course, he speaks English because he was born in an English home. But if you compare me and him, I would never stand next to him and like him. You guys have to, you have to mark us. Which one you prefer when it comes to preaching and teaching? I cannot stand him. I cannot compete with him because he's so good. He's got a gift of teaching. And when it comes to obeying your leaders, I think you guys are in a much better place because God has blessed you with a teacher. And so you can obey the word that God is preaching through you. And that's a blessing. That's really a blessing from God. And I just want to encourage you. Don't just say it. Please say it to him. I encourage you. That was a good preaching. But don't just say it to him. Because sometimes, you know, good preachers, they are sick and tired. I'm sorry if this is too strong, but some good preachers are sick and tired of people saying what I'm good preaching, but does nothing with it. Doesn't help at all. It doesn't. And that's why God is calling us, obey your leaders, obey the truth that they proclaim, obey the truth that they are living in their lives. And then third point, one of the things I really like, that's why I enjoy being a pastor. I'm not a pastor, I'm a pastor to another congregation. But I enjoy it. Because somehow God has put people in the church that makes my job enjoyable. I'm happy. There's a certain people, certain ministers or pastors. You know when they think about, the pastor, it's Sunday. Yeah? That's not what I preach today. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. Do you know why? Because they do not find happiness in the job that they are doing. They do not even find happiness in that vocation that God has called them. But the Bible here is in this epistle to the Hebrew. I don't know whoever wrote it. I'm always tempted to say Paul here is saying, but in fact, somehow, scholars and theologians, they argue about who wrote the chapter, the epistle to the Hebrews. Is it Paul? Is it Peter? Is it Titus? Is it Timothy? But the point is, it's a scripture and it says something to us. And I think one of his points here is for us to make the job of our leaders a joy. Imagine if one day him or Greg or whoever would come here and as your leader or as your pastors, he gets something angry and burdened and all of you were late this morning, go out. All of you did not give 10%, go out. So that's why I think it's to our benefit. And that's why the scripture here is saying, it's no advantage to us if your leader or your leaders is doing their job from like as a burden or the scribble, the Bible in here is using the word groaning. I have to be with those people again. I have to visit this one again. And I tell you, how can you make that easy? How can you, in a sense, make the job of the pastor more happy? And that's what I'd like to see a few practical points this morning. we can go. A few things that will help us do that. First of all, receive them as a gift from God. If you read Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, that Jesus has given to the church, which means they are gifts from God. But the pastor is a gift from God to us. There's a famous saying in, I think it's, I read recently, it was in Luke, but I think it's in Mark as well. We didn't read it too. I don't know if it's in John, the Gospel of John. But there's something interesting when Jesus went to Nazareth. And that's where the famous phrase or sentence that says, there's no prophet being born in their own land. And that's where it says Jesus could not do much there. Why? Because he's doing a great teaching. He's got authority. We've got this. That's healing. Please do it here. Let us see it. I'm not just the son of Joseph. I'm just the brother of so and so. That's because they were too failed, in a sense, too failure with Jesus. So they couldn't do nothing. They didn't receive Jesus as a gift from God. And I think we can apply that in the church. When you get to finding error, it's another clever teaching again, it's another preaching again, it's another counseling again, it's him again, I know him. I've been here for a year, I've been here for 2 years. Of course it's good. But please, again, let's refresh ourselves and receive our pastors as gifts from God. Because indeed, they are gifts from God. I think if you look it from a, like, if you look it from a point of view of the gospel, because we cannot even pay them, we cannot pay pastors, like we cannot pay you as well. You know, something I thought about being a pastor. It's, sometimes it's just amazing. You are paid by people that you give a sermon to. Like, you come, I preach to you, yet you give. And we live by your giving. Don't you think that's amazing? So we cannot pay that. We cannot buy that from God. We cannot earn that. And in that sense as well, being a pastor to a church, the congregation, is a gift as well. You cannot earn it. Because it's so about the gospel. It's about God's design. It's about how God wants things to be done. So receive them as a gift from God. Secondly, obey the truth that they proclaim. I've talked a lot about it, but I want to precise it again, and that leads us to the first third point. Allow the scripture to be the ultimate truth in your lives. In Acts chapter 17, verse 10 and 11, when Paul was going through a place called Berea, and they were called the Bereans, and the Bible says they were more of a noble spirit because they were open to Paul, and at the same time, they studied the scripture. What does the scripture say about these things? And I think that's a thing that we can do to help our pastors so that they can do their job with much happiness, much joy. Imagine if you just do, like, I have to do that, I have to go on Sunday because my pastor told me. I have to be gentle with my wife because my pastor told me. I have to pray again this morning because my pastor told me. I have to read this thick book because my pastor told me. But it's something that it's about your conviction. It's between you and God. I'm not ordering you, I'm not giving a comment. It's not every comment I give unto you. Because I'm pastor of Tantera and I can order and I can comment. That obey and how to say it, and respect and do your responsibilities towards your pastors. No, it's because God wants that in my own life. And so God wants that in your own life. So if you want to serve your pastor well, and know the scripture to be the ultimate truth in our life. This protects us a lot. This would match with what I said earlier on. It will protect us against heresy, heresy is something like,
if you don't know,
heresy is like false teaching, something not biblical, not scriptural. Because when we have the scripture as the ultimate truth in our lives, and that's the ultimate authority in our lives, we serve our pastors and we can tell them that, no, this is what the scripture says. It's not a matter of which coffee should we drink today. Should we have that? Should we have Lavazza? And that's the simple. I think the pastor or whoever is responsible of the coffee, he can get the phone and the voice of that. But there's certain matters. Imagine. And imagine if this happens one day, one of the pastors here will come. This morning I decided to believe in the fourth person of the Trinity. And that person is me. That might sound a very ridiculous example, but that happens. It has happened before. And people is following some of them. Do you know why? Because they do not take scripture as the ultimate truth in their lives. If you study carefully about history of religion, like Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormonism, it's all because they did not have the scriptures as the ultimate authority and truth in the lives of the people. That's why if you want to serve your pastor, please allow the scripture to be the ultimate truth in your life. Allow it to be subject to the scripture, be subject to what God is saying. And in fact, this is a blessing for us. That God wants to meet with each one of us at the same time to build the church community of people who believe in Him. And then, fourthly, love and receive them, be their friends. I don't know about you, maybe most of you, because most of us here now are foreigners and you've been abroad or I don't know, but maybe it doesn't really sound well with you. But to Malagasy culture, this sounds very rebellious. What? I can be afraid of the pastor? No ways. He will tell me, I've watched the World Cup, he will tune me. He will tell me, why did you lose time with watching soccer and not praying? It's shocking, but that's the example that Jesus showed in John chapter 15, verse 15, when Jesus said, I don't want to call you a servant anymore. I want to call you to be my friends. I think there is an example of us being friends to our pastors. One of the things I hate about being a pastor is when let's say there's two people in my congregation talking here. So when I come, then I could hear whisper. Is Pastor coming? Is Pastor coming? Oh, such a good weather. Hallelujah. Praise God. Yes. Everything is changing. As if we're not normal. And that's, if you want to do good to your pastors, be their friends. And of course, by saying friends, and not saying like, treat them with respect, but please, respect them. Respect them, obey them, learn from them, but be their friends. Be real with them, because they want to be real with you too. That's why some pastors, when you speak with them on one-to-one, they've got another voice. And somehow when they've got the mic, hallelujah, yes. Because they can't be real with us, because somehow we've got a certain expectation about the pastor. We think that they don't know anything about life on earth, they're only good for heaven. And somehow this is a tribulation happening to us right now. But they want to be our friends. And we should, in fact, aspire to be friends of those people, of our pastors. Invite them around. And there's another point I wanted to put in here, but somehow it didn't save it. It's like, I've said it before, but I want to emphasize it again. When you see your pastor, you singular and in you, doing something wrong against the scripture, or behave against how a Christian should behave, you singular, go right there to him. Pray for him, and correct, rebuke him with the Jesus Spirit. And of course, when you, I know of us here has been rebuked or been corrected, but it's not pleasant. When someone says, I don't like this thing that you did, it's not good. What do you intend to do? Who are you? And of course, somehow, as pastor, sometimes when you correct us, you might say, don't you correct the pastor? And somehow we tend to justify that it's true, which is not true. It's not a good behavior. Pray for us and go to us first. And if we do not repent, then only then we go to another second witnesses. And I tell you, that's a good way of how you can serve your pastors better. That's a good way. And please give us that gift. In a sense, when you invite you, speak to us. It's not that we care, we don't want to speak with you. We want to be friends with you. We want to be close to you. But first, love us as we love you. Seriously, we love you. We cannot do this film without you. We are jobless apart from you. I'm serious, eh? It might sound funny, but that's the truth. That's why David, it's a pleasure for us to serve. I'm sure it's a pleasure for him to have you as a congregation that he's overseeing, he's shepherding, he's leading, he's guiding. But please be your friends. Talk to us about your life. Don't wait until I've messed up my marriage, or I've messed up my school, I don't know what to do now. But start from the beginning. Even when you don't have a problem yet, from there you can start and speak with us, because we want to work with you. There's a thing in my mind when it comes to leadership, something that Moses, if you don't know Moses, you can read from Exodus. Moses was a leader appointed by God to take the Israelites out of Egypt. And this is something funny, in fact, when you speak about a hard relationship between the son and the father-in-law, and you know, between people and their in-laws. But this is what Moses told to his father-in-law. I think it's in Numbers somewhere, but it's in Exodus as well. This is what he said to his father-in-law, Jethro. If you walk with us, we will do you good. And that's serious. If you walk with us, our hearts will do you good. Do not want to manipulate you, but as I said, we want to point you to Christ. And for that sole only reason we are called to live. We want to point you to Christ. So please be our friends, open your eyes unto us. We want to pray for you, we want to know better about what should we do, how should we bless you. And that's the last point. Invite their advice and be open to correction. When last did you invite someone to speak into your life? Or are you like me? Somehow I invite them by force. That means that's a call for. When I do wrong, only then I call upon some people to speak into my life. Or isn't it better that right now, before you do something stupid, you invite the right person, you offer it. What do you think about this? This is my business. What do you think about this? This is my life and my family. What do you think about this? This is my life and my study. What do you think about it? This is what my parents says to me about me going out with this girl. What do you think about it? And remember, we want to do you good. We want to put to Christ. That's why we fight it. And that's why, I think this last one, that's why there's lots of conflict between pastors and people in the church. Because, in a sense, it's not our culture to invite someone to speak into our lives. It's not our culture to receive correction correctly. But I want to ask us, I want to beg us this morning, invite the advice. the advice, the correction from your pastors. I'm not saying they are God, I'm not saying they are perfect, but I'm sure they will do it they will do it as a blessing for you. It will be a blessing for us because they will appoint you to Christ and Christ alone. And I'd like to just do one last, we can please go to the next one. What should you do if you feel a call from God to become a pastor? That might sound very funny to you. I think the world is in crisis of not having enough real pastors and too much pastors being pastor for the sake of money. I think 4 or 5 years ago, I met with one of my schoolmates. So he asked me, so what do you do now? So I'm like, I'm a pastor now. You know what he told me? That's where the money is now at. That's where you manipulate people to give 10%. Aren't you part of those churches? And you know what? The things that I had to deal with when I heard about that, I had to come before God and I had to say, do I do this for money or do I do this because it's your call upon my life? And I'm not sure why I'm going to say something about this to deal with this right now. But somehow I feel like maybe, even if it's only 1 or 2 or 3 of you, it's been called to become a pastor or to be an elder. I think it's God again reminding you, what should you do? Because I tried before, I didn't want to be a pastor. My dad was a pastor, I had enough of it. But if I think about it, I think I also still like, if I could choose again, who would be my parent? I would choose, I want to be my dad's, the pastor, I want to be his child. But I didn't want to be a pastor. In fact, my dad told me, hey, my son, if you want to have money, go do business. Don't become a pastor. It's not good for you. And do you know what I said? No, no, dad. I'm a spiritual man. I want to become a pastor. No, I want to say to him, yeah, that's too bad. I want to be a businessman. I want to be rich and I want to give towards your kingdom. I want to give money to the church and to the outreaches and to the evangelistic crusades that you want to do all over the world. And really, that was like in my heart. But meantime, I knew from the beginning, God has called me. But being a pastor to me wasn't. I decided that not. Wanting to become a pastor. And I'm sure even like for us here during this 10 o'clock meeting, we've got lots of missionaries. And some of you who got a call, please speak to some of those missionaries. Use them, ask their advice, the cost that they have to pay, the surrender, why did they yield to the call of God in their lives? And then Jim used to joke about Beate from Switzerland, if I had to choose a place on earth where to live. I'll choose Switzerland. But the heck will I come to Madagascar? But why did he come here? Because of the call of God in their lives. So I want to just ask you, if you are here this morning and you have a call from God to become a pastor, please consider these things. 1 Timothy chapter 3 says, if you desire it, you desire the noble things. It's not something bad. Something good. I don't want to elevate it above our profession, but it's something good. If it's your vocation from God, please pursue it. If you feel that call from God, please listen to it. So these are just the things you should do. Talk with your pastor or your pastors, and with other people that you think also they've been Christian for a long time and you see God's grace in their life. Secondly, be faithful with what's been entrusted to you now. Do you know what most of the people who wants to become pastors does? Do you know what they tend to do? They'll leave, especially some people who will elevate ministry more than anything else. They only want to speak to congregation to the thousands. I'm a preacher, but only when you've got the full house. But be faithful of what you are doing now. You might not even be preaching to anyone else right now, but through your own life, be faithful with it, with your job or with your study. Be faithful with it. might meet two or three people weekly or monthly. Be faithful with it. And those are not little things. Just the way God is training and guiding us. Thirdly, stay prayerful and be open to the leading of God. Pray about it. Ask God, God, if you've called me to be a pastor, I want to put it into your hand. Give me the strength. Gently. Give me the perseverance and the patience to just wait and to follow you. And the seemingly silly little steps. But there's certain little steps that we think it's not good at all. But God has put those things in our life. Like maybe talking with someone who's a bit coco. Coco means a bit crazy. Be faithful with it. If you speak with it, be open to them. It might be from that, I want to be a pastor, and you know what the pastor told me? Go and teach the Sunday school. The call that I feel from God is to preach to the millions of people. And now he wants me to speak to little children. It's not little things. That's not two daughters. They are part of it. And they are people. There's dignity in it. So don't take things lightly in your life. But those little things, remember, God is using them. Even apart from being called to a pastor, for each one of the little things that God brings from property, those are blessings, and those are the ways of God to grow us in maturity, in Christ-likeness, in loving God. So I just want to end it there, but my main message this morning is we've got responsibilities towards our pastors. Let's open our hearts, let's open our lives unto them. Let's love them, let's pray for them. Say again, let's pray for them. Do you know what? Like when we went through teaching on Exodus and we arrived in chapter 5. The service when Moses did something stupid as a pastor and or as a leader. So I beg to the church in another day, please pray for me. I want to pray for you, but please pray for me. So likewise, you pray for the pastor. It's not just about, yes, pray for our pastor. God bless him. Look, God have mercy on him. He's got six children. I don't know how what he did. Maybe he doesn't believe in contraception. That's none of the business. That's obeying the command of God, you know, like fill the earth. That's why we are following in that footsteps. The third one is on the way, fourth one is settled. My wife is cute. But really pray for your pastors. Pray for them. Pray for them. They need the prayer. They need God's grace to be upon their lives. And they need you to pray for them. They need you to hope God in them. They know, we know that we're not the hope of the world. It's Jesus and the Lord. So that's why please pray for your pastors. Pray for God's blessings to be upon them, God's guiding to be upon them, God's leading, God's protection, God's provision. So pray. Pray for your pastors. Let's stand and let's pray. God, our Father, as we read from Hebrews chapter 13, that says that you've called us to submit and to obey our leaders. You've called us to make their job, so that they can do their job with joy, with much happiness, not with groaning. We've called us to pray for them and ask God that you somehow will bring clarity in our hearts, in our minds, in our lives, about who they are in our lives.